This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Skills, top rank, point blank, we vital. Spit flows, rip shows, peep the recital. Skills, snap, you feel it when we drop those hot beats. Stop foes killing it, we got those skills. Hits, the music that the street loves. Each thug is now repping this with deep love. Skills, gangstar, dueling again, ruling again. Watch as we do it again. It's the true living with a youthful vision.
All right, back at the Jeff Calkins Show. This is Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Skills by the rap group Gangstar. That is a tribute to Mike Conley and the Skills Challenge at the All-Star Weekend in Charlotte.
Are you a fan of the what will you watch this weekend?
I will watch nothing live, probably. I will DVR everything, and I will watch the I'll watch the Rising Stars game to see Jaren Jackson, and I will forward through and turn All-Star Saturday Night into about 40 minutes. And I'll watch all of that, then I'll forward through it, and I don't know if I'll watch the All-Star game. I've gotten kind of bored with the All-Star game.
Of the various things... Rising Stars, Skills Competition / Dunk Contest, and All-Star Game, you would rank the game itself last?
Yeah, these days, yeah. I mean, the Saturday night stuff I would rank the best as long as you're not watching it live because they turn about – watching All-Star Saturday Night Live is sort of like watching a football game. There's like 15 minutes of action over a three-hour broadcast. And so, like, that's sort of the way it feels to me. So I will, like, DVR it. Maybe I'll start – I'll start like midway through or two-thirds of the way through and forward my way to real time, that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. You have a mailbag up. I'm going to get to some of those some of the issues in a moment. But it was not a good night for those of us who want and for the Grizzlies themselves, who've said that they told you before the season began that they wanted to convey.
You and I have both been talking about this all season.
I know it was the goal.
Like it's not just a thing I wrote and then it disappeared. We have talked about this like at least once a week for five months.
Right. I'm to the point now where I don't believe they can get to ninth from the bottom. They just can't. They're not going to catch. I can see them catching New Orleans, although that didn't go well last night. Unless you think Anthony Davis's injury was good, and it probably was. I'm not wishing him ill, but like that's good. But that didn't go well. Orlando wins last night. I can see him possibly catching the Pelicans. I can see him possibly catching Washington. But that's all. There's no one else they're going to get. That's the only. The best they can get is eighth from the bottom. And so then the question becomes, for me at least, A, do you agree with that? But then the second thing is given that, is eighth from the bottom still where you're not guaranteeing yourself anything? Is eighth from the bottom better than sixth from the bottom?
Okay, so let me see if I can get all that together. First, I mean, one thing I said to Jeffrey yesterday is that I tend to think that this is a topic that has been under-discussed all season and now in the last week has been over-discussed because
right.
I think it's like less operable now than it was that it's been all season.
Right.
I do think they are unlikely to get to nine. I wouldn't put the odds at zero, but I would put them at well under 50%. I think it is unlikely. I think we have sort of reached like what will be territory because I don't, you know, one of the questions I got in the mailbag was like, if you can't get to nine, do you like shut it down and tank? And there's like no purpose in that either. And so I think it's sort of you play it out and whatever happens, happens.
Right.
In terms of preference, I do think eight, I would take eight over six because I think you know, with eight, you lower the odds of jumping into the top four, but you increase the odds of conveying the pick. But I think you increase the odds of conveying the pick more than you lower the odds of getting into the top four. And so, yes, I mean, you leave open that worst-case scenario of just having the eighth pick. And if that happens, it just happens, and you deal with it. But if you gave me a choice between six or eight, I would take eight going into the lottery.
Right. And for me, it's not. It's just what – it's just a question to clarify. It's been a murky year. It's a question to clarify what we're rooting for. Last year, most thinking people knew what we were rooting for,
right.
Not to disparage the anti-tankers, but most people. And so here, it's just such a
Here's what you're rooting for. Root for things to happen with the roster you have that makes the path clearer going into the summer next season. Root for Jaren Jackson to get a lot better and have big games. Root for Jaren Jackson and Jonas Valanciunas to look like they're a good pairing together. Root for Bruno Caboclo to get better with playing time in a way that would make sense for the Grizzlies to keep him in the next season. Worry about all of that. And then when the lottery itself gets here and the Grizzlies go into that lottery, either six or seven or eight or nine, then you root for the outcome in the lottery. I wouldn't be sweating it during the season in terms of standings that much.
Right. Okay. In terms of the Rising Stars Challenge, if we were going to have a redraft of the – obviously, the Rising Stars Challenge
– ESPN did this yesterday. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
You probably don't. You don't have the insiders. You couldn't have read it anyway.
Okay, so but it shines a light on the class – the class of 2018 draft. And so if we were going to do a redraft, I don't think there's any question that Luka's number one, right?
Oh, yeah, Luka's number one. What ESPN did was interesting is they took the entire rookie Rising Stars game, so you have the last two classes, and they redrafted the last two combined in terms of who, you know, going forward in their careers.
Okay.
And but Luka went number one in that.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess who went second and third?
Hold on, wait one second. I have to refamiliarize myself.
This was the Markelle Fultz, Jason Tatum, Lonzo Ball, De'Aaron Fox.
I bet De'Aaron Fox went second.
Good. That's a good call by you. De'Aaron Fox did go second.
Yeah. And then Tatum went third.
Jaren Jackson Jr. went third.
Did he really?
Yes, Jaren Jackson Jr. went third, and Donovan Mitchell went fourth. I think maybe Tatum was fifth. It was Tatum and DeAndre Ayton, I think, after that, maybe. It was Jonathan Givony and Mike Schmitz, their draft guys. And so they had it, Luka, De'Aaron Fox, Jaren Jackson.
And did they
Jr.,
alternate, or was it – sometimes they do this by alternating, and sometimes they do it by consensus.
Yeah, they alternated. So I don't know if the, whoever didn't have the third pick would have picked Jaren Jackson Jr. But that's the way they had that, which I thought was interesting.
Would you rather have – I would think most NBA fans reflexively, the way people talk about Jason Tatum, they would say, oh – I'd take Jason Tatum over Jaren Jackson Jr. You would take Jaren Jackson Jr., I'm quite confident.
Yeah, to me, my choice would be Jaren Jackson Jr. or Donovan Mitchell, I think. And I would consider Ayton a little bit higher than they did, too. I mean, Jason Tatum is really good. I have never been as 100% sold on him. I'm sold on him as really good, but I don't know if I believe that, you know, he was the best player in that class, even coming out of last season. I think I would have said Donovan Mitchell. I just think there's such a premium on, like, guards who can create and handle, right? And so, I think De'Aaron Fox and Donovan Mitchell are players who, like, you really build a team around because they're going to dominate the ball and be your playmakers and your scorers. And then someone like Jaren Jackson Jr. has the potential to be a 20-point scorer who's also an elite defender, and that's through a two-way play. And so, to me, I think Luka is clearly one, and I think that second tier, Fox, Mitchell, Tatum, Jackson, Ayton, probably those five. I think you could all argue in just about any which way. I think they're sort of jumbled together.
In terms of this particular, in terms of just 2018, I actually think the Grizzlies got it right given their chances, given their choices. Right? They wanted Jaren Jackson Jr. and they got it. I do think they would have taken him over Luka, and that's not right.
I think they would have. We don't know that with complete certainty.
Right.
We don't know. You know.
Right. We don't.
I think it was close. Like, I wonder what they would have done with the first overall pick, right? I think they would have traded down if they could have stayed in the top four, is my guess. I think they liked those four players well enough, and Ayton didn't really fit with Gasol, that if they'd gotten the first pick, you trade down, and who knows who you end up with, right? I think they thought those four players were the best four players. I do believe they had Jackson rated ahead of Doncic, yes.
Do you had Ayton one. Did you have Doncic two?
I had my final thing that I published was 8-1, Doncic 2, Jackson 3, Bagley 4.
Okay. And do you think let's just redraft those this year. And in an abstract, not even team fit, okay? So number one, Luka goes number one. Do we believe that in just an abstract forget fit draft, ESPN clearly does, Jaren Jackson Jr. would go ahead of Bagley, Ayton, and Trae Young?
I think if you polled all 30 GMs, you would get a split decision, but Jaren Jackson Jr. would have the most votes. Yes,
would have the most votes. And how would it fall? Do you believe after him between Ayton?
I think Ayton third, Bagley four would be my guess.
And what do you think of Trae Young?
You know, he's put up good numbers. And the Atlanta team is, I mean, they're bad, but they're not like, you know,
they're bad.
It's like the Knicks and the Suns.
They have a pulse.
They do.
they're different.
He can score. His shooting numbers aren't great still, but he can score. He can pass. Like, he can't really defend. I think we don't know yet. He's halfway through his rookie season. He could be a perennial all-star kind of point guard. He could be Steve Nash 2.0. I think it's more likely he's not that. And that he's just a good starting point guard. You know, I think he certainly does not look like he got overdrafted at five. I think Atlanta messed up trading down to get him and not taking Luka Doncic. But,
pretty clearly,
you know, if you did it all over again, he's probably still the fifth pick.
How good do you think Luka Doncic is going to be?
I think he's going to be a top 10 level player in the league, like for all of the bulk of his, throughout his prime. You know, barring injury. I don't think he's going to get dramatically better than he is because that'd be sort of hard to do given how good he is already.
Right.
I think he'll get better. I think he'll probably get in better shape than he is this season. I think his shooting will get even better. He'll fine-tune that. And so I don't think he's going to be – you're talking about those kind of players like the, you know, 2-3-4, middle of the floor, ball dominating, big playmaker types, which are like the most important players in the league. And that's one of the reasons I had him second, even though I hadn't seen him a lot, because he was that kind of player. Like, I don't think he's going to be LeBron or Durant or Giannis. I think he's the second tier of that, though. And the second tier of that is like perennial all-star, right? And so, yeah. Like, I think, you know, if you look at those kind of players around the league, he's not LeBron, Giannis, Durant.
But is he? I mean, his teammate. Is he Dirk?
Jimmy Butler.
Is he Dirk?
He's a different kind of player, but, you know, I mean, Dirk's like a top 15, 20
all
player
time.
Ever. So
right,
I don't know
exactly.
About that,
but he's not LeBron,
like,
right?
He's a different kind of player than the guy I'm about to say in terms of strengths and weaknesses, but in terms of tier of player in the league, could he be a Paul George kind of player? And Paul George might finish top five in the MVP this year, right?
Right.
Perennial all star. Like, not LeBron. But like a top 10 level NBA player, and at his best, is in an MVP conversation. Could he be that? I think he could absolutely be that.
Whereas you think Jaren Jackson has a different trajectory ahead of him. He will be. It's funny because the last
he's not a guy who dominates the ball, so it's hard to think of him as like your number one guy offensively on a contender because he's not going to be the guy who has the ball and is making the plays.
Right. But he also he is not as close to what he will become as Luka is, presumably.
That's exactly right. That's exactly why he's projected so high, even relative. Like, his stats are good as a rookie, but his stats aren't better than DeAndre Ayton's, right? And so the reason he's projected to be what he's going to be is what he has done in the NBA relative to his age. He is the youngest rotation player in the league. He's younger than some guys who are going to be drafted, some college freshmen now who are going to be drafted in the lottery this summer. He's younger than. So he's the youngest rotation player in the entire NBA. He's good right now, and his skill set is such that he could get dramatically better even from what he is, given his skill set and his age. Yeah, so there's still a lot of projection forward on him, just like there was coming out of college. But, like, production relative to age, relative to, like, his competition is pretty great even this season.
I will say the NBA draft, you just look at these NBA drafts. Most of them are just junk. You look at you got Grayson Allen as 21st pick in this draft. Like, and it's just junk, right? But then you've got Pascal Siakam from Toronto, who comes out of nowhere. I think he was the 27th or 28th pick, 27th overall pick. And he's a monster.
Masai Ujiri is pretty good at this, by the way.
He's pretty damn good at this. Yes.
Where Fred VanVleet got drafted, where OJ Anunoby got drafted. Masai Ujiri is pretty good at this.
Yeah, well, I guess.
But he also took Bruno, who's 2 years away from two years away. Like, everybody misses.
Yes, but maybe the argument there is he takes swings, right? Like, Bruno was a swing, right? And if you hit on one of the two swings there, then you're.
But Fred VanVleet wasn't a swing. He was a upper class
guy.
He was like 5'11", little pokey, like, you know, didn't look like an NBA player.
Well, and then
talent comes from all over the place.
Right. And what do you make from age? Like, a lot of people say, I'm not, like, Pascal Siakam was really good in college. He put up big numbers in college, but he was old. He was 22 or 23 when he was drafted. So a lot of people would say, well, I'm not going to take a shot at him because he's not 19. He's, you know, I don't know, he was 23 or something like that. He was old when he was drafted.
Well, when you talk about the types of players who are more likely to succeed than other players, like, that's based on evidence and based on probabilities, but it's not based on certainties. Like I said, good players can come from anywhere, from any place, from any age, from any size. Some types are more likely to succeed than others. And so, like, the point I made last summer is the guys who were, like, top five level prospects, consensus come out of high school, who are then dominant as college freshmen, they have a much higher success rate than other types of players. But they don't have 100% success rate. That doesn't mean they're going to be better than some other kind of player. It's a matter of probability. And that's speaking broadly. When you get into specifics, it's about making specific judgments on specific players. Evaluators are better at that than others.
Talking to Chris Harrington, he has a mailbag up over at the Daily Memphian. It's dailymemphian.com. You should read it. So one of the things you get into in the mailbag, and I don't want to go too deeply into this, is there's a lot of things you get into in the mailbag, but one of the things
it's pretty long.
It is a long mailbag, and one of the things you get into is the questions of Grizzlies management stuff. Now, it's almost impossible to talk about this because, as you've said before, it's like reading the mind of Robert Pera, and who knows? Like, it's hard to read the mind of Robert Pera. So you and I have talked about before. Well, first of all, let's talk about the current situation, the current hot name that everyone says, yeah, well, you realize who's really covering the shots is Zach Klaman is the guy.
We're like two months away from people or whatever it was. People saying, you know, the guy who really calls the shots is Chris Makris, right?
Right.
There's a lot of that.
And I do believe that, like, he's a new name, and I think he's important, and I think there's probably been a shift. This is feel like criminology here a little bit, right? But he's a lawyer who has been part of the front office, and I don't know. Do you have any sense, like, of where he fits, or like
I
that?
Do?
Okay,
I do. I actually have a lot of sense, and there's a limit to what I could write and what I couldn't. And that's the way it works in this world. I will tell you that he obviously got elevated going into the season. That was put in a press release and the whole thing. He'd been with the team for several years as a lawyer, working on a lot of non-basketball stuff, legal issues for the franchise. And he moved up into the assistant GM role heading into this season. His general job description and resume combo is not that different than, say, Tom Pins was who was the assistant general manager under Jerry West and also was a lawyer. It matches a lot. Like, they're different people, and, like, I'm not saying it's a total match, but roughly speaking, like, you know, that sort of rhymes. And so he moved up into an assistant GM role to start the season, which put him in sort of the inner circle of basketball ops, the inner circle being Chris Wallace, who's the lead executive, John Hollinger, who's a VP and sort of over the analytics stuff, Chris Makris, who's the player personnel director, Tayshaun Prince, who is an advisor to Chris Wallace and really sort of hands-on with players and coaches and that kind of thing. And then you had Zach Klaman, assistant GM, who, you know, has the legal background and is a lot of the you know, contractual related stuff and CBA stuff and sort of more legalistic aspects of running a front office was sort of his specialty within that mix of five people. I do think over the course of this season, he got elevated to coming into the season, and I do think over the course of this season, his profile has risen within that context a little bit. Brian Windhorst said on an interview on this radio station, I believe it was on the Jason John show, that you know he had heard that Zach Kleiman was on a lot of the trade calls. Well, I can tell you that is true. He was on a lot of the trade calls. He was not the only Grizzlies person on trade calls. Like Chris Wallace is on trade calls, John Hollinger was on trade calls. But he was involved actively in negotiations around the trade deadline. What I think has happened in terms of his profile getting raised publicly is some people heard about that and overinterpreted what that means. They took that to mean, well, if he's on the trade call, he's making the decision. And that's not really the way it works. It is still, and no one wants to believe it, but it's a collective decision right within those five people. And those decisions are made, and then Robert Pera, you know, okays them or whatever. They go up to Robert Pera after they come out of the group. And so anybody can be on the trade call. That doesn't mean they are making the decision themselves about what the team is or is not doing, right? Like I know when the Grizzlies traded for Jarnell Stokes on draft night, Chris Makris happened to be the guy who was on that trade call. That doesn't mean he independently decided they were making that trade for Jarnell Stokes. He was the guy who negotiated the deal that the entire front office was involved in doing. And so Zach Kleiman has been on trade calls. I think he's become more important within the context of that front office. I think people have overinterpreted that to mean, aha, he's the guy making the decision. Because there's always a conspiracy theory among people who have sort of partial knowledge of the Grizzlies of, like, who's the real shadowy figure behind the scenes making all the decisions? Because I think it is fun for people to think that way, and that's not really, I don't think, the way things work.
Well, we want there to be one person who's making the decisions, and of course, if there's one person, it's Robert Pera in the end. But
right,
there's, I guess it is possible, though, that within the group of five, like, there are shifting, he might, this is probably true, it just would be true anyway. He might listen to some voices more than other voices, given the particular ebb and flow of things. That I think that's very possible, don't you?
Sure. But I think the whole Jason Levy and Joe Abadi stuff trained people to be like,
right,
he's the secret guy behind the curtain pulling the strings.
Right.
I think the whole Michael Heisley era trained people, members, to be like, who's really, you know, who's got the ear? And I just think a lot of this gets kind of tiresome. And it's not as mysterious as people want to make it out to be.
Right.
I think they have a group of people, like all organizations do, in their front office who are working on things at various levels and various directions. Consensus decisions, good or bad, get made. And ultimately, the owner and the lead executive are responsible for those decisions. I think bringing someone in who has that legal background, like Kleiman does, and the sort of elevating him within the process, I think probably speaks to a desire to have sort of that legal frame of mind in regard to negotiations, okay, which I think is probably a good thing.
In your mailbag, you did say, in mocking my Rotary Club selection, I've just you said
I took a shot at you and Ron.
I'm just kidding. I was just joking. You're welcome to take as many shots you want. So Ron Tillery has said he wants Damon Stoudemire to be the guy. I've said I wanted Shane Battier to be the guy. We both in this universe are at least positing that there should be a person.
There's going to be a person, right? It's just, is it going to be Chris Wallace or not?
Well, no, but Chris Wallace, you don't. What you just described, consensus decision-making among five different people, is not the way it works in Boston. It's not the way it works in Oklahoma City.
I think it works to a degree. I think, you don't think Mike Zarin has a lot of input on Danny Ainge makes ultimate decisions. You think he's just by himself with a phone with other people?
No, there are people but it's very clear who makes the ultimate decisions. You wouldn't say it was a consensus decision. It's Danny's decision.
Right.
There are people making phone trade calls, but I do think.
I think the Grizzlies need a stronger lead executive with a stronger handle on what will be still a collective process.
Right.
Is what I think.
Of course, it will always be a collective process, but I do think, like when Jerry Willis was here, it was a collective process, but in the end, Jerry made up his mind. Now, maybe that was good or bad.
Unless he got mad and stormed out of the room, and then someone else did.
There was that. But anyway, you suggest that it be a grinder from outside the organization.
I didn't, I said it could be. Like, I think everyone, literally everyone, when they start to speculate about this, obviously speculates on people they've heard of, right?
Right.
And so, you know, you throw out Battier and Ron throws out Damon Stoudemire, and on the mailbag, there's a comment from a reader, it says Scotty, it should be Scottie Pippen. And then other people throw out the names of former GMs because they know who they are. It should be Sam Hinkie. It should be David Griffin.
Right.
I don't know who it should be, but it's very possible it is the best person for the job is someone that we all don't know.
Right.
That same interview I referenced from Brian Windhorst, he made the point that the Clippers, when they moved Doc Rivers out, they brought in this guy from Oklahoma City who was Sam Presti's number two, a guy named Michael Winger.
Right.
Does anyone listening to this know who Michael Winger is? But he was Sam Presti's number two in OKC, and, like, it's well thought of, and apparently he's doing a good job for the Clippers, right?
Right.
Did anyone know who Sam Presti was before he became the GM of the Thunder?
All right. I take your point, and I agree completely. I guess I would say this. I think it's all so totally hypothetical because I don't think they're going to go get that person.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I worry that Robert Pera, and this is me projecting a little bit because I don't know. I mean, you've talked
right.
to Robert Pera. I haven't.
Right.
I talked to him once. I've talked to him before, but not in a, like a, this kind of context. I worry that he's too uncomfortable with the unknown to hire someone who he doesn't have a relationship with to have that role that might sort of make it harder for him to put his fingerprints on things or make it more awkward for him, right? When he booted Jason Levien, I made the joke before, it's like George Bush trying to put Harriet Myers in the Supreme Court, right? You're looking for the best person for the job, and you look right down the hall, and like it's the person sitting there, right?
Right.
And so when Chris Wallace got re-elevated after Levien, to me that was the path of least resistance, which to me was not the right decision at that time. And I do worry about that in regards to Pera. But
well,
I don't know.
And I do, from the conversation, two things stood out. One is his desire for continuity. Now, obviously, that's probably changed a little given what continuity has produced, but still.
Right.
A, and then B, how much fun he was having being involved, personally having his stamp in every single decision from the last offseason. And so, to me, both of those things lead me to say that even if he's told that there needs to be some shifting around for PR purposes so you can sell it to the fan base, that it will be someone with whom he's very comfortable, who represents some sort of continuity and understands the role that he wants to play in having his fingers all over the process.
The problem is, for various reasons, and I don't want to get into a person-by-person blow-by-blow on this, but for various reasons, I don't think there's someone in the current organization who can be that lead person.
It can't be Tayshaun?
I don't think so. I mean, he'd be good in the press conference, I guess. And he's advisor to the general manager, right? I just don't think his hands-on stuff organizationally. I mean, anyone could like sit in the press conference, I guess, and that's what people see on the outside. But on the inside, you're talking about someone running
it, right?
Organizing people, organizing and managing people and information. We think of it as like a good old ball coach or whatever. You're hitting high school gyms and peering at players. This is a billion-dollar business where you're organizing people and information and negotiating contracts and trades and, you know, obviously you have staff who's involved in this, and that's why you have legal people and the analytics people, whatever. But I just think the person at the top of the organization has to be sort of interdisciplinary themselves and have a certain level of experience and facility with all those things, and not just like I'm a former player, which is not to denigrate him at all. But I just,
no.
I think that's a big leap.
No, I think it's funny the way you describe it. Zach Kleinman might be the best, like, might be.
I just think he's too young.
But no, you couldn't sell it. No, you couldn't.
Right.
If the goal is to sell it, you can't sell this mysterious lawyer who's young and whatever else doesn't have a particular background in basketball. You know, you couldn't, like, in terms of running an organization, he might be able to do that, but it wouldn't work. It wouldn't do it.
It wouldn't be unprecedented. Like how old is Rob Hennigan when he became GM of the Magic, right?
Right.
It wouldn't be unprecedented, but my sense is that he would be too young and too inexperienced for that role. That's it.
I think that's right. And Chris Makris doesn't live here. And then Tayshaun, you're right, does he fit in that role? Chris, we know he's at this point publicly damaged goods. Okay, there's a problem. We'll figure it out next time you join us, which will be Monday. Thank you, Chris.
All right.
That is Chris Harrington. I want to tell you, by the way, that you can transform your home or business by right now calling Affordable. Do me this favor. Go to affordablindsofmemphis.com. Go to affordablindsofmemphis.com and look and see what they got. You will be amazed at the way that blinds, shutters, and shades can transform the whole look of your house. You will also be amazed at the options that are available now. Cordless, motorized, beautiful plantation shutters, all sorts of things that you may not have even dreamed. I've said it before. You can literally get it all, so you could tell Alexa to open your blinds, up go your blinds. Sun comes pouring in. They deal with, they have helped homes and businesses throughout the region. Chip Wiggins, he makes all the initial consultations and does himself. He's a local Memphian. He started this business. He'll come out. He's a total pleasure. He will, he'll tell you, size up the situation, show you their beautiful mobile showroom, and show you what can be done. And it means you don't have to go to a big box store and wrestle with putting these things up yourself or anything else. Within 2 to 3 weeks, it can all be installed and your house can be transformed. It's springtime. Why don't you want to have a fresh start for springtime? Affordable Blinds in Memphis, 753-5822. On the website, affordableblindsofmemphis.com. All right, when we come back, Jeffrey, do we have prizes? Do we have prizes, Jeffrey?
Indeed we do.
Okay.
We have some good ones.
We are going to play a game when we come back. And because I don't want you to cheat, I'm not going to tell them what the game is yet. Do you think that's or should I tell them what the game is?
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to give you a name, and you're going to give us three choices. We're not going to
We're going to give you three choices, and you're going to pick.
Correct.
We're going to give you a name.
Yep.
We're going to give you three choices of what they are.
Correct.
And you are going to just within 5 seconds, because I don't want you to look it up. You're going to tell us one of the three choices. What among the prizes we have to give away?
We have three different sets of tickets to the Lakers-Grizzlies game when Ron Braun returns. We have a pair of tickets to the Kiss concert, the final tour. Wink, wink. You know what they mean. We have two tickets.
It's the final tour.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And
it's the final tour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We also have two tickets to go see Santana. We also have a gift card to Local.
Wow. Okay.
Shout out to the promotions team.
5353776. 5353776. I'm just going to tell you, we're going to give you a name, and we're going to have you choose between three different choices of what it is, and you will guess. And then if you guess correctly, you'll win a prize. And I'll give you more details when we return. We will also update the poll. Who are you rooting for or against Saturday, Tennessee or Memphis? We'll do that when we get returns. Jeff Gawkinshaw, 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com. Lovers
of one another's. Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins Show, 5353776, 5353776 is the phone number. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. We got all kinds of prizes. We're going to give you a name. Jeffrey's going to give you a name, and you are going to say if it is a member of the Memphis Express, a member of Memphis 901 FC, or a porn star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's it. Once we guess the name, the mm-hmm. name is gone forever. This is not like Harvard Horn Lake Trivia where someone else can answer the same question. So you have to tell us, Memphis member of the Memphis Express, Memphis 901 FC, or a porn star, and you have to answer quickly. We aren't within 5 seconds. We aren't going to give you a chance to look it up within the roster. 535-3776. 5353776 is the phone number. We got Lakers tickets among other fine prizes to give away. We start with Mario. Mario, are you there? Mario. Mario, hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay. Are you prepared? Are you familiar? Are you familiar with the rosters of the Memphis Express and Memphis 901 FC?
Well, I know a few of them on each team, so
You got a shot.
I got a shot.
Okay, so we're not gonna let you look this up. Jeffrey,
no.
Give him a name.
Mark Birch.
Mark who?
Birch.
Mark Birch?
Birch.
Mark Birch. I'm gonna say that's a porn star.
Ah, I'm sorry, that is.
Sorry about that. I appreciate
incorrect.
That. Sorry about that. What is Mark Birch?
Mark Birch is a defender. He is 6'1", 180 pounds for Memphis 901 FC. His birthday is May 7th. He's from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mark Birch is – we're trying to familiarize yourself. Mm-hmm. They play an exhibition game this weekend, and, of course, the Alliance has a home game tomorrow night. I will be there. 535-3776. We go to Nick. Nick, you're on.
Hey, what's going on?
Are you familiar with the rosters of these teams?
Very little, so this will be interesting.
Okay, go ahead, Jeffrey.
The name is Greg Gilmore.
Greg Gilmore. I'm going to go with Memphis 901.
Ah, I'm sorry. That is
incorrect. Sorry about that. What's Greg Gilmore?
Greg Gilmore is a 6'4", 307-pound defensive tackle out of LSU. He wears number 97 playing for the Express.
535-3776, 535-3776. And by the way, the porn star names, when we get to them, if we give one, it's their real name. We're
correct.
Not going, you know, John
correct.
Longdong or mm-hmm. whatever thing like that. That
would love his work.
That would be a give. Mm-hmm. That would be a giveaway. We go to Bobby. Bobby, you are on. Are you ready?
Well, I have no recollection or no...
Good, you're perfectly prepared. That's how I go on every radio show. So here we go. We'll give you a name. We'll give you a name, and you tell us what it is. Jeffrey?
The name is Davis Tull.
Say again?
Davis Tull.
How you spell that last name?
T-U-L-L.
D-U-L-L?
T-U-L-L. I'm about to cut you off, though. You got to tell me.
I'll say 901.
901 FC.
That is incorrect.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. We're out of any stalling tactics. 535-377. What's amazing is we do not have a winner yet. 535-3776. 535-3776 is the phone number. We go to Rico. Rico, you're on.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
I guess so.
Okay. Jeffrey, give him a name.
Rico, the name is Anthony Morris.
The 901, the soccer team.
901 FC. Sorry about that. He is not a member of the soccer team. Jeffrey is now fielding more phone calls. He's reloading the phone. 535-3776 is the number. 535-3776 is the number. We're just going to give you a name, and you got to tell us if it's a porn star, a member of the soccer team, or a member of the Memphis Express, the 901 FC, or a member of the Memphis Express. We are doing a public service. We are trying to familiarize you with the rosters of the Memphis Express and the rosters of Memphis 901 FC, because very clearly, from the early returns, you are not fully acquainted with the rosters of these two teams. Jeffrey, the last name you just gave it, what was he?
Anthony Morris is a 6'6", 290-pound offensive tackle out of Tennessee State. He wears number 77.
77 in your program.
Mm-hmm.
Look for him tomorrow night. 535-3776, 535-3776. Sean, are you ready? We're having a bad run here. We hope that you're going to break this. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Jeff.
Okay, Sean. Go ahead, Jeffrey. Go ahead.
Sean, the name is Charles Payton.
I have no clue. I'm going to guess porn star.
That's a winner.
We got a winner. Charles Payton is.
You know your porn stars.
What is his actual Charles Payton?
My mother would be proud.
So,
what does he go by?
Charles
What's his screen
Payton's,
name?
Stage name would be Jeff Stryker. He is an AVN Hall of Fame inductee. He was a 2000 winner of the Grabby Wall of Fame. He's a 2004 member of the Hustler.
Right. Anyway, you're a winner. Hang on, real
Hold
quick.
On
Jeffrey,
there.
We'll talk to you. Okay. 535-3776, 535-3776. Oops, he's going to have to call back.
Yeah.
Call back when we're off during the break. Call back during the break, and we will make sure you get your prize. 535-3776, 535-3776. We go to Jeff. Jeff, you're on.
Hey, Hey, how are y'all doing?
Good. Are you ready?
Yeah, well, I guess. We'll see.
Jeffrey?
The name is Josh Morton.
Josh Morton.
The 901 soccer team.
That is correct. Back-to-back winners.
That's very impressive. We will put you on hold. Jeff Morton is a member of the 901 FC. We go to
Justin.
Justin, you're on.
Yes, sir.
All right. Go ahead. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Justin. The name is Drew Jackson.
Let's go with the Express.
Wow.
Three in a row. Three winners in a row.
All right.
How about that? We'll put you on hold. We'll take one more on this. We go to Paul.
Yeah, we'll take one more.
We go to Paul. Paul, you're on. We've had three straight winners. You can make it four in a row, Paul. You make it just like Sleepy Z's. Winner four in a row, best mattress store, four in a row. Go ahead. Jeffrey?
The name is Andy Bick.
Andy Bick. Oh, where is he? Paul.
Hello?
Paul,
are you there?
Paul. Paul.
Yeah, are you talking to me?
Yeah. Yes, we are. Tell us
Carl.
If.
I'm Carl.
Carl, sorry about that, Carl. We apologize. Tell us if you can. What's the name?
The name is Andy Bick.
Andy Bick. I have no idea. We're just going to guess. I'm going to say it's a porn star.
It is indeed the actual name of Zeb Atlas. Zeb Atlas.
Thank you very much. All right. Yeah, very impressive. People
They know they're porn stars.
If you didn't some of you are on hold. If you won and were not on hold, call back and Jeffrey will tell you how you get your prize. We're going to take a break, back in a moment. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
In the last few weeks, I have had cause to go to two computer stores. One, I needed a power supply cord for my son's computer late one night. And Cooper Systems was closed, so I went to a big box store and waited for 20 minutes for service. Wandered around looking for someone to help me, stood in the line, whatever. Finally paid literally $100 for a power cord after getting pleading for help. My second experience was my son Andrew needed a new computer. I sent him to Cooper Systems. Lee and Lauren greeted him. Lee and Lauren Cooper greeted him. They showed him their options, took him through it. Wonderful service, fabulous price. He's happy as can be. The experiences could not be more starkly different. So I urge, whether you need a new computer or whether you need your computer repaired, I urge you to go see Lee and Lauren Cooper at Cooper Systems. It's where I go. It's where you should go. The phone number is 360-9679, 360-9679, or you can go see him in the Mount Moriah office park. Jeffrey, let's wrap this baby up.
Now, it's the closing argument.
All right, we got a few things to get to. First, we have a poll, Jeffrey, a poll that we have to get to. Where are we on the poll? Who are you rooting against, Kentucky or Tennessee?
Okay, the poll currently stands at, with 889 votes, Kentucky leads at 56%, Tennessee at 44% on who would you be rooting against.
Are you surprised that that's pretty close? I thought it would be within 60-40 either way.
Yeah, I did think more people would be against Kentucky, but I am also willing to acknowledge the theory about Tennessee, local Tennessee fans are voting against Kentucky.
You were right, I was wrong. But there's a healthy amount of anti-Tennessee feeling there.
Absolutely.
So there's that. Okay. Second thing I wanted to talk about was this Colin Kaepernick story. Someone specifically asked on Twitter if I would talk about it. Someone who said Colin Kaepernick evidently was approached by the Alliance of American Football and asked if he wanted to play. And Colin Kaepernick said, supposedly, this is according to the report from the Associated Press, I'll play for $20 million. And this, to a certain number of people, proves that Colin Kaepernick is a fraud, that he wasn't blackmailed, that it was all about money, that he had no conscience, it's not principle, it's just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With all due respect, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is absolutely the dumb. Case Keenum makes $36 million. $36 million. You don't get to, as the NFL, blackball a guy for 2 years for kneeling. Then offer him inquire as to whether he wants to join a minor league. And when he rejects the minor league, say he wasn't blackballed. Minor league where you're paid whatever, $80,000 a year. That's insane. It proves nothing. It's like someone on ABC News, an anchor for ABC News, is for some unjust reason drummed off of, loses his job, okay? And 2 years later, he's offered an anchor job in Meridian, Mississippi for a fraction of the money. And he or she says, I'm not taking this anchor job in Meridian, Mississippi. No, thank you. That does not prove that he or she was unjustly fired from the anchor job originally. It simply proves that he or she doesn't want to work for pennies in Meridian, Mississippi after being blackballed for 2 years. The idea that anyone takes this as evidence of anything is just crazy. So no, yes, I will. The person who wanted to talk about wanted me to concede that Colin Kaepernick, the whole thing was a fraud. No. Nathan Peterman had a job in the NFL. Colin Kaepernick is a dramatically better quarterback. Last time he played, he had a touchdown, 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in that season. He would have been playing in the NFL, but for the kneeling. He does not have to now go to the Alliance of American Football to prove that is true. It's a ridiculous argument. Absolutely a ridiculous argument. In terms of the game itself tomorrow, I'm looking forward to it. Here's my fear, though. My fear is, I'll be honest, I have been kind of skeptical about this league and about this team. It's very clearly last week got a lot of interest. TV ratings were great. And as a Memphian, my fear now is that the league is going to take off and Memphis is not. And not that it would be a huge black mark or anything else, but Memphis is a place that is... had so many minor leagues come through that we roll our eyes at minor leagues. And particularly like every minor football league came through. It's going to be cold for Memphis. And let's be honest, with all due respect, the team got destroyed in Birmingham, didn't score a point, has the most... Maybe we'll see a new Memphis Express tomorrow night. But it doesn't appear... that they have the most electrifying offense or electrifying head coach. They are 16-point underdogs to the Hotshots tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see that. But again, we've gotten used to this throughout our times as Express fans, lifelong Express fans.
What I'm not worried about, but what I'm beginning to suspect is going to happen is there's not going to be a great turnout, but that the league is going to do fine, but that the Memphis franchise will not. And historically, it's been the other way around for Memphis and football.
No.
Sorry.
I have to tell you something first. I got to tell you to go to Oak Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Oak Hall is, I said this the other day, I've been telling people it's 50 to 70% off, and I made a grievous mistake. It's not 50 to 70% off at Oak Hall. It is 70% off everything, all winter and fall clothing at Oak Hall. 70%. That means sport coats. That means outerwear. That means jeans. That means dress shirts. All of that. All their beautiful clothes, 70% off. You got a little time this weekend, got a little time today, or a little time this weekend. Get yourself to Oak Hall as they finish up their semi-annual sale. They got a whole bunch of new merchandise because they consolidated it from their Nashville store it is an opportunity to take advantage of what I've been talking about. Beautiful clothes, unbelievable service for 70% off. Do yourself a favor and get yourself this weekend to Oak Hall. What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Brian Billick will join them. He will be calling the Express game on Saturday night. I will be hosting the Eric Hasseltine Show. Ryan Glasspiegel, John Martin, Joe Mullinax is going to join me. GP will be in studio today. Dan Wolkin joins at 4:25. Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock.
All right, batten down because the state of emergency has been declared. Try to make it through the weekend and rejoin us on Monday. For now, our work here is done.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.